Hello guys, it's King Nonso from kingnonso.com and I have come again. And today I'll be talking about starting out a career in tech. And it's an introduction to tech career as a whole. So let me give context to some people who might be listening to this at a later time. First, this is 2020. Second, this is not a concise user journey experience of how to build a career in tech. I try to touch the relevant parts that I can remember and that I've interfaced with, and also what is applicable in my immediate environment right now. So I just want to break how the tech industry is, right? The vastness and the many spaces that one can play in if you want to pick up a career in tech. All right, so I'll begin. First, there's tech. And a lot of people define tech as many things. You call your phone tech. You call your laptop tech. You call the person that knows how to operate Microsoft Word a techie person. And you even call a software programmer, a software engineer, a tech guy too, you know. And a lot of people mix and match these definitions along many lines, which is not too helpful. All right, so what is tech in essence? It's, in the perspective of a tech career now, it's the many ways you can play with the new cool stuff, you know, do things on your mobile phone, do things on laptop, build stuff that people want, or provide services that people want, right? So let me get started with tech as a whole. So first of all, tech, very simply, and this is going to be a very, very simplified study, if I should call it that. So tech is going to has two major legs. One is hardware, the other one is software. Now the hardware part, which is where I'll take on to first, is concerned about computer hardware, your phone hardware, hardware's all around, right? So basically, if you want to start up a career in hardware, that's computer hardware or phone hardware or whatever hardware it is, you basically want to go for an A plus, which is a computer hardware course, and possibly an N plus, which is computer networking, right? So hardware encompasses computer hardware, computer networking, you know, and all these other electronics. Like hardware, anything that is visible, that makes the software fly, right? That makes the internet possible, that connects all of us together, right? So that's hardware. So if you want to start a career in hardware, basically the route is A plus, N plus, then you could go further to do CCNA, CCNP, and then those other hardware certifications and learnings that apply. For software, which is the second leg of tech, software is very vast, right? So I'll apply software in two, I'll divide software into two now. The first side is expert use, right? And the second side is building the software. Now in expert use, we're talking about softwares that people use as experts to develop products. So by expertise now, I'm talking about things like video editing, graphics design, and social media management, and all that. Now, and how is expertise different from building software is that you don't need to write any code, right? You don't need to write any code if you are, in a sense, if you are doing graphics or if you are doing a 3D model, or if you want to do something on social media. But because these things are not what everybody can easily just jump onto and know how to use them, it's expert use, and you need really, for someone that wants to be a graphic designer, you really need to know how to use CorelDRAW or Adobe Photoshop or both of them. As for someone that wants to be a video editor, you need to know how to use Maya 3D, or some other video editor out there. And if you want to be an expert social media person, you need to know how to use Facebook, Instagram. You need to know how these things work, right? How you can leverage on them. Now, and there's a lot. I mean, you could take a graphic design class for 6 months, you know, video editing for 3 months and all that. You can take a social media class for 3 months too, just to learn how to use these softwares, right? So these softwares provide some leverage. Now, this also include expertise, also include softwares like AutoCAD, you know, ArchiCAD, all those softwares that are used for design, development, and all that, right? So it's expert uses, it's a very dense populated world. And I'll come back to expert use because there are specific softwares developed for specific industries that they need experts to use them, right, to produce results for that industry. Like if you go to oil and gas, there are expert software systems that the administrator needs to know to really work, understand the machines and all that, how they're operating, what's their condition and all that, right? For every domain, there's an expert software system. So it's very vast. And a lot of time when people want to pick up a career in tech, especially if it's later in life, it's most convenient for you to pick up on expert systems, right? Because I can remember a week or two ago, someone contacted me about some software that I haven't heard of before. Well, I've heard about it, but this was the first time I was really hearing about it. And he was asking if I know somebody. He knows I'm a tech guy, you know. We are all tech guys. He first asked whether I can operate such a software. And I told him, no, I have no knowledge of how to operate such a software. I think the software is similar to MATLAB, but it's different. I think they use it for civil engineering, underwater, or subsurface something. I really have no knowledge of that software. And he asked if I know anybody that knows how to operate, and I told him, no, sorry, I don't know anybody that has knowledge of that software, because my domain is in building software, right? So expert software systems are these systems that you really need to be trained in them to know how to use them. They are very technical in nature, and it will take you quite some time to really get good in them, right? And then these things evolve. There are many tools that you can use, all right? So in software, so apart from expert use, right, there's also the building of software. Now, in building software, I divided it according to platforms. So the three most common platforms are the web, the mobile, and the desktop. Now, there's a special category called gaming, because you can develop games for both mobile and desktop, and even for web. But then when it comes to gaming, your programming language for those three platforms are different, and the technology could be different from what is being used to even build the web as a whole. Right, so that's why gaming is like in a special category. All right, so when you come into building softwares, there is a web of programming languages for the various platforms, right? There are too many. There are about 700 programming languages, and a lot of things come into play when you want to learn a programming language. All right, the first is availability of instruction. Where can you find the instructions for that programming language? Where can you find resources? Where can you find mentors to help you through? Because, and I'll talk about this in the what to learn part, because when you pick up a programming language, and it's best early in your career to pick up a programming language and stick to it for quite some time, maybe for a year to two, so that you can master the basics of computer programming, right? In mastering the basics of computer programming, once you have mastered that basics, you can actually switch from one program language to another, because it's basically the same thing, especially if it is OOP, as OOP now is object oriented programming. The concepts are the same thing. A lot of things are the same, but maybe the syntax might be different, right? So, and the way the code is written, you know, and all that, maybe they might be different. The way things are implemented might be different, but you get a concept, you have that knowledge of programming languages that is really, really transferable. All right, so that brings me to another session of what to learn. So you're trying to make up your mind whether you're going to go into building softwares for the web, or using expert systems to develop graphics or video or whatsoever you want to do. What to learn? What do you want to learn? What should you learn? So let me give you a background of myself. I'm a tech lead for a tech startup, and as tech lead, I have experience in over 20 to 30 programming languages. But core. Now, see, I'm even applying what I'm telling you. Core for the next 2 years, I'm focusing on two. One is Python, the other one is JavaScript. And not just all of JavaScript. So when you go into JavaScript, there's a ton of things inside JavaScript. Now, I know the basic JavaScript. I know jQuery and all that. But I want to focus on two. So it's Python and React.js, right? React Native. That's what's going to be my focus for the next 2 years. So as a tech lead, now I have to restrict myself because there's a lot more in Python, even as tech lead, that I don't know, right? And I have to restrict myself to really go deep inside Python, get to know how a lot of things work, how things are implemented, you know, and all that. So let me give you a little bit of background about myself. So I'm a tech lead, said that earlier. I'm a tech lead for a tech startup. And what I do, well, I write code, obviously. I review code. But then as tech lead, I also interface with company executives, where I give weekly briefings about technological progress. I interface with product and design teams to develop technical and non-technical requirements for our applications. I interface with support and marketing, especially during product releases, because I understand that a well-prepared release is not only about providing access to new technical functionality, it's about delivering a new and improved customer experience. And I've had experience across various sectors, from fintech, financial technologies, to government, to education, and in the medical tech space. All right, all in all, it's about 7 to 10 years, if I want to count years of being a professional in the field and all the years that I've actually been in the field playing. I also have certifications in various forms. Python, I have a lot of certifications. I'm also IEEE certified, as a member and as a consultant. Then one last thing I should add, that I teach. Yes, I teach Python. A good number of part I volunteer to teach Python. Currently I volunteer with Data Science Nigeria to teach Python and machine learning. But even before then, I was teaching Python for, I started doing my own boot camps since about 2016. And I did that every year consistently until I joined the data science. Even after joining Data Science Nigeria, I still did that, you know, just to ensure that we pass on knowledge to as many people that wants to learn, you know, that wants to come into tech. All right, now that said, there's a reason why I said that is because I've seen a lot of people come into to learn, you know, and at a point they either drop out or they lose interest, or they, you know, when we say we have a boot camp, first day maybe 200 people shows up, but towards the end of the boot camp, maybe just 20 to 30% of those people are left. And that bothers me. It makes me ask the question, why do people come earlier in and they don't stay till the end, they don't stick it out till the end? Is there something fundamentally wrong in the way I teach, you know? Is there something wrong in the process? Is there something wrong in a lot of, you ask a lot of questions. But here is what is important for us to know. A lot of people get caught in a frenzy of tech or whatsoever. I mean, Bill Gates, the richest, well, not Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos is the richest with Amazon. Bill Gates is, I hear Bill Gates is now third, Elon Musk is second, Bill Gates is third, and all of them are doing something in the tech industry. So there is this idea people have in their mind that there's money in tech, and there is money in tech, right? But possibly not in the way you're seeing it. And then there is all this, you know, push for fast money. You think, and a lot of people come in thinking, okay, if I do this in 3 months, by 6 months, I'll be, I don't know, I'll be big. I'll be paying, you know, being, I'll be paid maybe some big amount of money and all that. I think so. There's a lot of unrealistic expectations that are set before people even begin to pursue what they want to pursue in tech, right? So first things, especially if you are building software, I'll just tell you first things first, is that it's quite a boring job. Sitting down writing a dozen lines of code or more every day is quite a boring job, right? And if you are not interested, you are going to lose, you just lose it. So first of all, what to learn is that you must pursue your interest. So the question you need to ask yourself is, what are you interested in? What tickles your fancy? When you look at tech, what do you admire most? If you are with your phone, you can open up your phone and check out an app that you like. And do it right now. Open the app or open your phone, check out the app that you like, and ask yourself, well, what do you like most about this app? Is it the user interface? Is it the user interaction? Is it the experience? Is it what bothers you most about this app? Are you trying to think about how these things were made possible? How are they doing this at the back end? You know? These are questions that you need to ask. And if the more questions you have, well, it really means the more interested you are. So it must boggle your mind. Anytime I look at an application or I hear a new app or a new whatsoever service is released, it always boggles my mind. Wow, how are these people doing this? So my goal sometimes is not even to just download the app or something, but to really break it down and really go deep and know how these things happen. Right? So what to learn is that you must pursue your interest. What are you interested in? What interests you? Right? The second is don't lose domain knowledge. Now, what is domain knowledge? I grew up studying computer engineering in school. I have a bachelor's in engineering, and that's my domain, unfortunately. And why I say unfortunately is because if I'd known this, maybe I would have done something else. How, you might ask? I would have studied maybe business or something, or public administration or something, you know, or something completely different from tech. Because why? Tech is about writing code, especially if you are building software, it's about just doing that. And domain knowledge is you have a knowledge of a field that is not in tech. Now, my own domain knowledge is in tech, right? So I know about writing code and all that. But if I had, say, a medical background, it makes me easier to innovate tech products for the medical space, right? If I had an administrative background, it makes me easier to develop tech products for governance. Now, if I want to develop, say, an accounting software, I need to get an accountant, because the accountant is the person that has the domain knowledge of how accounting works, right? I can't just sit in my house now and build something. No. I need that domain knowledge. So the best part of tech is when you are operating in a field that you have the relevant knowledge, and then you also now know how to code. Now, if it's in a big organization, you might even be in the best place to direct activities if you're not usually the one writing the code. Maybe it's a big project and there's a company that is being outsourced to do that. You can be the one in charge of that project because you understand the two domains, right? You understand tech and you understand that domain. So don't lose domain knowledge. A lot of people, maybe they have a certificate in biology or something, they just straight away and jump right into tech and forget. No, it always bothers me when I see people do that, because that's the domain knowledge that you're trading away, all right? And if you innovate services, maybe a mobile app that can scan leaves or something, you have that domain knowledge already. It's just a way of translating that domain knowledge to using tech to something that is a product or something that will be useful for humanity. So don't lose your domain knowledge, the knowledge of a field. It aids invention, it aids experimentation. I mean, it aids a lot of things. It makes you I would call it more full-fledged tech person than just if you just knew how to write code and there you need to be instructed in many other things. And the next thing, if you are considering what to learn, is look back and look forward. Now, by looking back, is you have to look back to where you started. You know, what was the first thing or first set of things that gave you a hint that this thing might be interesting, this thing might be a good step to take, a step in the right direction? Look back. Just look back and look at your life backwards, like a rear view mirror, and think about it. If I was going to apply tech backwards now, how would I have done it? Look forwards in your own career and ask yourself, where am I going and how am I going to apply tech if I'm going forward? Right? So look back, look forwards. Look back, look forwards. Think about it both ways. Think about it both ways. Right? Where am I going to leverage tech? Where could I have leveraged it? Right? So that you get a more balanced picture of of where you're going to. So that's it for an intro to tech career. Of course, I didn't talk much about the programming languages. I told you there are tons of them: web, for mobile, for desktop. You need to research. What platform do you want to write to? Right, I want to write to web. I want to build a web application. I want to build a mobile application. I want to build a desktop application. I want to build a game, right? Or you can say, I want to do graphics design. I want to do video editing. How do they do that in videos? Make a car accident scene look real. All of those are tech. You know, even what you do on social media, and they're all tech. Right? Yeah. So don't misconstrue it. Don't think it's only when you're writing code that you're a tech person. You can be an you can have expert use of a particular software in your field, in your domain. Right? That's even a good place to start. See if you are, well, I don't know. Say if you, I don't know how to put this now. Say if you are trying to use a particular software, I can't give a concrete example now, but let me say you have an expertise of AutoCAD in civil engineering, right? That makes you a better civil engineer than if you didn't know how to use AutoCAD and all that, right? So if you're a civil engineer, you want to get into tech, so your own tech will now be things like getting to AutoCAD, ArchiCAD, was all the softwares, BIM, BIM infrastructure, and all that. So, I mean, there are various softwares for various fields, and so you just need to research your field and research the expert software systems in those fields, right? Yep. So, takes me to the final part of this talk, which is how. And the how is quite simple. So first, if you are completely beginning, now there are many ways you can learn. You can learn online and you can learn in person, right? For beginners, if you're really motivated, you can learn on your own online. If you're really motivated. If you're not really motivated, then you might need help. And then learning in person might help, right? And there will always be challenges that will come up. Always, always. So it's best you're learning in person and you have somebody you can reach out to in case, you know, you have problems with your code or maybe you're trying to draw a line and it's not drawing properly, trying to do something that is not there. You just have somebody you can reach out to and yes, just have someone you can reach out to. Just basically to make sure that you have someone to guide you step by step in the process of what you're doing. Yeah, I think that's all. I want to talk about a lot more things, but I think what would direct my conversation would be definitely would just be your questions, right? All right, so that's all for today. So reach out to me your questions on Twitter at Technonso. Okay, so that handle is funny. So Technonso is Technonso, or reach me via mail. Send me a mail at me@kingnonso.com, or you can also go to my website @contact. Go to my website, do contact me so that we can have a meeting. You know, let's talk if you have any question. All right? Yep. So see you next time.